From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio this morning. The Super Bowl has ended. The Philadelphia Eagles are the champions last night, beating the New England Patriots, as I'm sure you know by now. At least I would think so. In the latest Super Bowl football season over, well, spring practice is in about 25 days, but nonetheless, football season over.
But football season's over.
Until August or September. Spring doesn't count, says Mr. McCready over here. So we'll hit a few things today. Ole Miss basketball with its worst effort of the season, losing by 33, I believe, at Thompson Bowling Arena over the weekend in Knoxville, Missouri, at home tomorrow night. Missouri coming off a win over a Kentucky team that's just okay. But nonetheless, Tennessee beats the Rebels. Ole Miss falls below 500 overall. And now it's kind of another sign of where the season is currently from Saturday. So, some basketball, some Super Bowl, and whatever else on this Monday morning. Ole Miss had its last official visit weekend over the weekend as well for recruiting. Russell Johnson covered that very well for us with RebelGrove.com. So, check out Nuggets. Check out RebelGrove.com for that. National Signing Day. Less than 48 hours away now, 2 days away from National Signing Day, February 7th, 2018. So that's what's on tap today. Congratulations to the Craddock family, Oxford Exxon, Blue Sky for a successful hometown sessions with Jamie Lynn Spears on Saturday night. Did a great job with that. You know, we talk about Ben all the time, but truly nobody cares about the community more than him putting that together, pulling off a very, very successful evening. Congratulations to Ben and everyone involved for that with Jamie Lynn Spears. Also, they are presenting sponsor for the FCA breakfast on Ole Miss's campus here in a few weeks, February 24th. Evan Engram will be in attendance for that, the New York Giants tight end, former Ole Miss All-American. So that's what's on schedule here soon. Baseball starts up in a couple weeks as well, and the final weeks of the basketball season. And as we get into February, Corey's month without alcohol, but you can still though find him with Clark Ford.
Yeah, you can still find him.
He's still there.
He's sober as he could possibly be right now. 662-257-1900. You call Corey Clark, and I guess you can congratulate him on making it to the seventh day. Is it just today the seventh? Fifth.
Fifth. Today's the fifth.
All right. Whatever.
So I just said National Signing Day is February 7th.
And that's why I thought today was the 7th. I'm getting old.
You thought today was National
Signing Day? No, I heard 7th, okay. And so I just thought 7th. Anyway, 662-257-1900, call him. Tell him what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. You just get a great deal. You can shop the quote if you like, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's so simple, and you'll be really pleased with your decision. At the end of the deal, you can be even more pleased. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on our podcast. Mention any of our podcast. It's $500 off. The bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
So, let's kind of jump around. I don't really know where we're going, but we'll see what happens here. You were telling me a minute ago that Carson watched his first professional football game pretty much all the way through on
I mean, he's watched bits and pieces of games.
All the way through.
Yeah, but he's never, like, gotten into a game.
But you don't know why. This one, for some reason, hit him.
He decided all last week, he's like, all week long, you know, because I take him to school in the morning, I take him to soccer, I take him to baseball, I pick him up from school most days. Constantly. You excited for Sunday? And at one point, I was like, what's Sunday? The Super Bowl, Dad. I'm like, I don't know, not really. You know, I don't really like either team. Because I've been very open with anyone who asked. I was looking forward to a Patriots-Saints Super Bowl. And when I didn't get it, I took my toys and went home. And he just kept saying he was excited for it. He said, the Eagles are going to win. And I was like, man, I don't know. don't know. Patriots are pretty good. You don't win five Super Bowls by accident. It's hard to win a Super Bowl. They've won five. They're losing. He was all jacked up. So Sunday, yesterday, he had baseball at 2. I dropped him off at baseball. I went to the gym, came back and got him. We got home about 4 and lit the grill and all that stuff after everybody showered. And he,
did you stick with burgers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I did do some little turkey sausage things. They were good.
Okay.
I actually didn't even eat a burger.
Okay.
Anyway, he was locked in from about 4:50 on.
Whole game. Watched it.
Whole thing. I don't think he missed a snap. He was geeked up. Kept getting nervous. He's like, I'm nervous. I'm like, well, the Patriots win these games typically. And when, you know, New England got the ball back with 2 and some change left, I thought, I know how this is going to end. I was literally one play away from going, I've seen this story.
Yeah.
And then they make a play. First turnover of the game. Unbelievable. I mean, kudos to the Eagles, man, because they offensively put on a clinic. Foles was terrific. I thought Doug Peterson's game planning game play calling was obviously very creative. They obviously knew, hey, we have to go for it. We can't be timid. We can't be conservative. We have to be aggressive. They knew they had some matchup issues with the Patriots on the other side of the ball, and it was a great game. It was a lot of fun. It was really entertaining. I thought the pregame was really good. Pink was awesome. I thought Timberlake was awesome. I thought the whole thing. It should be an American holiday. It basically is.
It is.
And it was terrific. A lot of the commercials were really good, and it was a hell of a game.
Yeah, Hart. Not much really to argue or dissect in a negative way from this one, because you mentioned you get a great game. Timberlake did exactly what you're supposed to do in Super Bowl halftimes, which is play things people know
and entertain.
Don't go off script. Just do what you're supposed to do.
No social stance. Just, hey, I'm going to play songs that you guys know. You're going to sing along. Yeah, there's going to be some lip syncing and all that stuff because I'm a human. I'm running around. I can't. He was great. He was really good. They people said, well, they should have done a Prince hologram. Prince's family specifically said they did not want a hologram.
Yeah.
So you respect the family's wishes. They painted Minnesota. They showed the outside shot of the town purple.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. I mean, it was a victory. Were you entertained?
Yeah, I was good.
I was entertained.
I tell you what was funny was I went to a buddy's last night for the game. Had, I don't know, I'd say 25 people, give or take, over. And it was a deal where it was like, hey, bring your kids. I think they hired a babysitter to come in and help with kids and kind of let the parents have a little bit of whatever. And we were having a good time. And the two funny parts around halftime were, you know, we had done like squares and stuff. So we're just kind of sort of playing around. And all the guys are in the living room watching the game or outside on the back area watching the outside TV. And all the girls have been upstairs in other rooms and everywhere else. And then with about 1:30 left in the half, you saw them sneaking in. And they were kind of coming in and kind of in a battle of war, pushing us out of the living room as they all focused in on Timberlake. Then they were absolutely in. So suddenly we were all in the back watching, kind of laughing about the girls crowding the TV all of a sudden at halftime. And then because, I mean, we're all relatively the same age with the same age kids, tons of toddlers running around, Timberlake started singing the song from Trolls. And I saw this popped on Twitter a good bit last night. But as soon as that first chord hit, almost every toddler in the house focused
really?
On the TV thinking it's Trolls. And it's just Timberlake singing the song, but they're all like kind of dancing or whatever. And I thought, there you go. I mean, it was a hit even with the little kids last night. As
the people
watching.
Bitching about Justin Timberlake's performance last night, you are really...
They're the same guys that want to show you how smart they are during the Grammys.
Yes. You're being grumpy.
No, I can't like that song. It is not whatever. Okay.
Yeah, stop. It's supposed to be mainstream. They're wanting to hit mainstream. They're not trying to say, hey, you know, we're good. It's you know what it was? It's the guy in college that wouldn't listen to top 40 music because it wasn't cool. You had to listen to grunge or alternative or whatever because that's what made you cool. Stop. You like what you like, and America likes Timberlake. He's great.
He's the greatest entertainer of our generation.
Yeah. He was. I thought he was great.
As far as just entertainment and talent, being able to do a little bit of everything, he's up there with anybody.
I mean, the only thing that we didn't get that I wanted to get was I wanted to get the some of the Saturday Night Live stuff from him. I mean, I knew it wasn't realistic that we would get Dick in a Box, but I was kind of hoping we would get that song.
Probably wasn't on the playlist.
Probably wasn't signed off. You know, but he's excellent. He's a phenomenal entertainer, and he did the tribute to Prince, and it was all good. I when he finished, I was like, yep, I'm good with that.
Yeah, there were several boxes he had to check, and he hit every one of them and walked off the
stage.
There's
a list of boxes that you must check, and he checked them all. Finished up and left.
And we got a good second half. And so it was really good.
Got a hell of a football game.
Yeah. Pink went under on the national anthem. 153 was the unofficial time. The over-under was at 2 minutes.
That was her with the flu, by the way.
Was it?
She's phenomenal.
I always like the under in the anthems because people get just a touch nervous. So speed up just enough to usually push it under.
Even the Carrie Underwood Ludacris song to open up the broadcast was really good. I thought the whole damn thing. If NFL, man, they walked out of there going, yep, you can knock us down, but we're going to get right back up. People want offense. You got lots more offense in that game than any game
tons
in history.
Tons of offense and a game-changing turnover.
More offense than any game in NFL history. Not Super Bowl history.
Oh, I thought it was playoff history.
I think it's history.
Really?
More total offense than any game in history. Brady was, what did he throw, 500 yards?
Yeah.
He was awesome. He got hit one time. Changed the game. And Foles was terrific.
Peterson called a hell of a game.
You can take the boy out of Monroe, but yeah. You can't take Monroe out of the boy.
Billboard going up, isn't it?
No, he called a hell of a game.
When everybody went to bed last night, nobody had a better day than Nick Foles. He had the best day in America yesterday.
Yeah.
Made a lot of money. Legend in Philadelphia.
Yeah. He'll be the one guy that will one day come back and quarterback against the Eagles, and no one's throwing anything at him. No batteries. No one's cussing him.
He could quarterback the Redskins in that place next year, and it's all good.
They'll cheer for him.
Yeah.
No, he's – He had a good day. It's good to be Nick Foles today. Probably going to have a little trip to Disney World here in the next day or so. Take the baby. She won't remember it. Lots of photos.
Yeah, they get these. I mean, all like those Disney World things, they get these ridiculous packages, and they get tons of them to give out for Super Bowl MVPs.
Good to be Nick Foles today.
We hadn't talked about this. I'm really happy J.J. Watt won the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Yes, he certainly deserved it.
Raising the type of money and the vision and just the influence he had on that relief effort, really impressive. I was glad he's the one. You know, every team nominates one player for that every year, and I was glad he won it.
I actually saw someone on Twitter say all he did was, I'm like, really?
All he did.
Come on. Man, we live in a cynical world. I mean, I'm a cynical person, and I was like, he has to win. What, he raised $50 million or something crazy? Mm-hmm. And then actually did his part in...
Yeah, it was hands-on efforts, too. It wasn't just one tweet and then moved on with his day and had a sandwich, I mean.
No, he was very active.
So, let's get hit a lot of Super Bowl stuff. This Malcolm Butler thing.
Bizarre.
Saw tons of Twitter at it, obviously because where he's from and stuff, last night. And he was an All-Pro 2 years ago, or last year, I guess. He played... essentially 98% of the Patriots snaps this season. 97 and change.
97.8%.
Doesn't play a snap last night on defense, and obviously this was from a directive from Belichick, but Matt Patricia, the Patriots defensive coordinator, blew off all the answers. He was asked five, or the questions. He was asked five, six, seven times during the press conference, and he made mentions of they had certain packages for certain players, certain things they were trying to work on. And then Malcolm Butler basically says they gave up on me.
What was interesting was before the game, when they were singing America the Beautiful.
Okay.
He was sobbing.
Butler was.
Yes. And I thought, because they showed him, and I thought, man, the moment has really hit him on an emotional chord, which I certainly understand. You find out later that I think he was told in pregame, you're not playing. I don't think he knew.
Mike Reese says, yeah, he found Butler after the game, who says, quote, they gave up on me. F, it is what it is. Was Butler's quote.
Hell of a quote.
He elaborates and says, I don't know what it was. I guess I wasn't playing good or they didn't feel comfortable. I don't know, but I could have changed that game.
Well, that's the odd part of it is
you're getting pillaged on defense.
Yeah, it would be one thing if they stonewalled the Eagles. They never stopped them.
Yeah, had they won the game 21-3, okay.
Philly punted one time, correct?
Sure.
Had the one interception on the play that was almost another touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, Foles had his way with them. They ran the ball on them. Nothing worked for New England defensively. And Malcolm Butler sits on the sideline. It's really a weird look. I told you this, and this sounds like the ultimate hot take. And I hate hot takes. So forgive me going in. Kind of feels, I'll spirit of full disclosure, I wish I had used a different term, even with you. I said to you, it feels like the kind of the end for the Patriots, which is too strong. And you got it right. You said, it just feels different. Something feels off.
Well, it was when, was it Wickersham that wrote the big story a month ago?
Yeah. And maybe that's what set this, gives us that backdrop to make us think that.
It's so much success in an arena where you don't have this level of success. It's unique. It's strange. It's egos and eccentric people all trying to gel together for two decades. And at some point, when we talk about all the time about, oh, well, coaches get stale, you stay at one place. These are three really weird, really influential, really rich people that have been at the center of this for two decades. There is a combustible moment where things get out of order. They get out of line. It starts getting off equilibrium a little bit. And when that happens, you either all go in there and go, hey, what do we do? Or it completely combusts. And it feels like we're closer to combusting rather than one of them going, hey, this is pretty special. Let's chill. Let's figure this out. Let's look at some of these little things that have become big things. But at the age that Brady is, said last night he expects to be back. With what Belichick has been able to do, and then obviously with Kraft, there is a point where it's just over, and it does feel like we're at least closing in on that.
Yeah, it does. Now, excuse me. Eagles don't force a fumble there, and they go down and score another game-winning drive, and we're having a completely different conversation. But
are we?
Probably.
Think so? Okay.
Be six titles. Back-to-back. It's hard to repeat in anything. And in that sport, it's almost impossible. Injuries can impact a season in such a dramatic way. Gronkowski did not commit to coming back. Had a concussion in the AFC title game.
He's had a lot of back injuries. I mean, I can't imagine what his body feels like on a day-to-day level.
And he's a guy that wants to have a fun life. Those concussions like the one that he got, that AFC title game, when you go back and watch those, you have to give some thought to, why am I doing this? Do I have my money? Do I have rings? I'm popular. I could endorse stuff. You have to make some decisions.
Putting the cap on the Malcolm Butler thing, I see here, first 18 games, meaning their playoff games in the regular season this year, the Patriots had 1,201 defensive snaps. He played in 1,178 of those.
Yes.
So he played in not 23
All but 23 snaps.
Yeah, of 1,200, one special team snap, and then, 98.1%, by the way, for all games to this point. Okay. In the Super Bowl, zero defensive snaps, one special team snap.
Played one snap. Bizarre. That's Belichick thinking he's the smartest guy in the room. It's treating...
It was punishment for something. Had to be, right?
But what? You're going to choose the Super Bowl to bench one of your better players?
That's what I'm talking about. That's Belichick, though. That's him.
So what's stupid?
Oh, yeah.
May very well have cost them a title.
Yeah.
I mean, you can punish him after the game by cutting him. You can trade him.
It defies logic, though. They spent 2 weeks and went, oh, no, this other guy does better for what we're trying to do with the pack. Come on.
You make that decision on the day of the game? It just makes no sense.
That's what I'm saying. Bill had to be pissed about something, right?
I guess so. I'd love to know the truth. We'll find out eventually. It's going to get out.
Yeah, always does.
Yeah, it's going to get out for sure.
So. Move on in a second.
Though I will say this before you move on. I will say that I saw the odds for next year, the Vegas odds, and Vegas does not care about the drama. They care about your money. New England's still the favorite to win next year's Super Bowl. 5-1.
Why wouldn't they be?
I know.
Yeah. So, MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, Oxford, Tupelo, surrounding area. You get the free quote with MasterCuts, 662-607-7773. Whether it's just to get ready for the warmer temperatures, to get the free cut when you mention the podcast, sign an annual contract when the time comes, or if you'd like to get an outdoor living area, a fence, a stone patio, a deck, a pergola, or other things set up for you and built, they can take care of those too. I've heard of several people taking advantage of MasterCuts with great prices and great construction for those structures here in the next month or so. So again, free quote with MasterCuts, 662-607-7773.
And the podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts, which went up last night shortly after the end of Super Bowl 52. If you are interested in a home or a condo here in the Oxford area, Harry is the guy you should go to. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. It's HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab at the top left. Filter through by what you're looking for. The results are updated daily. And then you send him an email. He'll take care of the rest. It's HA@HarryAlexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all of the benefits the big mega banks provide. OUB offers all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons and without a 5-minute wait. Oxford University Bank offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan's located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans. Great lease deals. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy Grass you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com. You'll get rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss and Missouri tomorrow night at the Pavilion. That game tips at 8 p.m. Tickets available at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTIX.com.
A little bit of Ole Miss scheduling situation going on. They have until 4 p.m. today to file the appeal to the NCAA. Obviously, they will get that done. I highly doubt they'll miss the hour. We'll see. Antonio Morales reported last week they had named three of the five people that will hear that appeal in an actual hearing, not just a written situation for the appeal. It constitutes lack of institutional control, the unofficial visitor restriction, and obviously the bowl ban. And it's not really appealing the penalties as much as kind of how it got there, which allegations they believe that were inappropriate or whatever, that kind of constitute the actual penalty. That's one thing here that gets lost a little bit. And also, they have to show that something was – there was negligence or out of the norm or something as far as the actual process, more than you can't go, hey, this was kind of 50-50. They went against us. Look at it again. That's not really what this is. This is more about how the decision came to be made that they're having to appeal. And a lot of times that's a very hard, you know, very high bar to jump over.
Yeah. Look, I obviously believe they should win the appeal. I don't think they will. I think they'll probably get some relief on something. I don't know. I haven't really talked to many people about it, but I don't know anybody who's overly optimistic about getting that second year bowl ban removed. You probably have spoken to more people than I have, but I've never sensed from you that there's a ton of optimism as it pertains to that.
No, they're just going, you know, you go through the process and you do your duty, you do it the best you can, and you see where it ends.
Yeah.
That's the good news for Ole Miss is that it can't get any worse, and when it's over, it's over. Only thing from here on can get better. I mean, it's not like they're going to add penalties because you appealed, so.
No, it's over. And that's good. It needs to end. It's held them back for years.
Yeah.
Like I wrote this on last night. Ole Miss fans should celebrate these kids that sign on Wednesday. It takes a little bit of – I've had some people push back on this word. Maybe it's the wrong word. It takes a little courage to sign with Ole Miss right now if you have alternatives. Been beat up a lot. There's been a lot of negative press. There's a bowl ban. There's – you know, it's not the easy thing to do right now. And so this class is probably full of some kids that, I don't know, I think you as a fan base should probably celebrate them. And now this next class, the one that we'll do a soft verbal on Thursday that talks about the 2019 class, it's critical. I wrote about this as well. I mean, you saw Auburn with their social media campaign this weekend, the SIP Mall 19 thing. Is it silly? Sure. Is Auburn going to sign 8-9 kids out of Mississippi? No. But it shows you that some of these other programs smell a little blood in the water. And if you're Ole Miss, it's imperative that at the end of a year from today, they no longer smell that blood. Otherwise, it's a feeding frenzy. And if it's a feeding frenzy, it won't. This current regime probably won't be able to survive it.
Yeah, it was interesting from the standpoint of a hashtag is nothing more than a hashtag. It's not the end of the world. It's not actually doing anything. And it's two or three dudes that it's focused on. N'Kobe Dean, some of those guys.
Yes.
Marcus Woodson, probably brainchild behind it. Not in a negative way, just saying that's probably the deal there. In a state where, for the most part, Ole Miss and State have kind of held their own and kept guys home that they've needed to. Lost some LSU guys to the coast and stuff. I mean, from the coast, but in the general areas, they've done a pretty good job for the most part. At least Alabama and Auburn. What's your guess? If I told you Auburn signed 1.5 Mississippians, over or under?
Under.
Under 1.5?
Yep.
Okay. Just curious.
In the end, they all end up going to Ole Miss or State. I've never, and it's just fandom. I get it. I'm not making fun of fandom. We do this every year, though. kids are going to take trips. You should take trips. Why, if you're N'Kobe Dean or Brandon Turnage or kids like that, why would you not go look at other schools? They're going to wine and dine you. You're going to be treated like royalty. Why not make those trips? See the world a little bit. Go see Georgia. Go see Alabama. See Auburn. See LSU. Why not? Check it out.
If anything, for Ole Miss and State, the early commit to Alabama has been a good thing for them. It never sticks.
Never sticks.
I mean, there's a long list of kids that have committed to Alabama during their sophomore, junior years and not signed with Alabama from Mississippi.
Yeah. And I can see how a kid takes a trip to Alabama and you walk into their facility and there's 14,000 trophies and everything else and all their NFL presence, and they say, here's an offer, and the kid commits. I get that. Doesn't mean anything. Any more than a commit. Like yesterday when everybody was on N'Kobe Dean commitment watch. A commitment to Ole Miss yesterday doesn't mean anything. It means you're ahead.
Yeah, you'd rather have it than somebody else have it, but that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not binding. It means you're ahead. It means you scored a first quarter touchdown.
And you've got to hold on for another 364 days.
Well, it means you're up 7-0.
Well, I guess December now. I forget about that other stupid thing.
You're up 7-0 in the first quarter. Congratulations. You'd rather score first than not score first.
It's an advantage.
It typically means you're in good shape, but it doesn't mean you're necessarily going to win the game. I've seen lots of teams go up 7-0 and lose.
Yeah, it's not 28-3. It's 7-0.
Did you see the Times Picayune?
No, what'd they do?
It said birds of play.
Yeah.
And then under it was like, you know, unlike those other birds.
They've had some really, really good headlines the last month or so in their sports page. They do whoever designs and comes up with some of that, they're pretty good for a non-tabloid. But, yeah, anyway, last Super Bowl thing, maybe. This is kind of an inside football thing. Most people would never notice it, and I wasn't paying attention until it was pointed out. And now, look, both of us combined, he knows more football in his pinky than we do. Shouldn't the color commentator for the Super Bowl, Chris Collinsworth, know the difference between an RPO and a play-action pass?
Yes.
Called everything RPOs last night.
Yeah, and a lot of them weren't RPOs. They were.
I mean,
just play action.
By covering the college game, we see a ton of RPO.
Yeah, almost to the point of it being monotonous.
Yeah, I don't understand why has that become the in vogue thing where everything in the NFL now, no matter what it is, gets called an RPO.
Yeah, now that you say that, I noticed that. He kept referring to RPOs.
Yes.
And at one point, he even talked about the running back messing up Foles' handle because the running back was holding the ball for a while. And I thought, no, he wasn't. It was just a play action. Foles just made a bad throw. Happens.
A little bit of chaos inside you, hoping that was called an incomplete pass with the Eagles down there by the end zone on the catch, no catch. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Totally. I thought, this is going to be, I'm sure you were too, I was thinking, this is going to be all we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And then when they slowed it down, I just kept, and they got it right.
They did, but there was just enough element where I went, ooh, 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 maybe.
Because he caught the ball, step,
he became
step,
a runner.
And becomes a runner.
Yeah.
And then he crosses the plane.
Yeah. But with that whole through completion, you never really know.
And because the ball hits the ground, but his hands are on the ball.
He kept control.
His hands are on the ball. The ball can touch the ground if your hands are on it.
Yeah, let's overcomplicate this to a degree.
And then it pops up in the air. Now, here's my question.
Uh-huh.
Here's my question.
Yep.
Because you know the people in the replay booth were going, oh, my God. You know, the referee was like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I want this game decided by players, not me.
Someone take a handoff and run this in. Thank you.
What if that play happens, except the ball doesn't land in his arms? It lands in the end zone, and there's some wild-ass scrum for it. and it either goes out of the end zone or the Patriots recover it.
So then it's touchback or touchdown.
See, I thought, and you know me.
You thought him catching it gave him enough to go.
I thought it gave him an out. Because his hands are on the ball. He never loses control of the ball. So it allowed them to go, well, either way, it's a touchdown. He either crosses the plane as a runner, or if we're doing the catchy thing,
the ball doesn't hit the ground.
He finishes with the ball.
Yeah.
That's easy. Let's not. Otherwise, we look like we're giving the Patriots a Super Bowl. We can't do that. But what if catches the ball, step, step, loses it right there, doesn't finish with the ball, and it either does one of the two scenarios. I mean, I think we're having a completely different conversation right now. Would they have had the fortitude to get that one right?
As a Saints fan last night, I had a couple different emotions because the Eagles played so well in the NFC title game. They might have just gotten popped and it been what it was. I don't think that was a cakewalk win in Philadelphia by any stretch of the imagination that day. But I did watch it last night going, my God, the Patriots are vulnerable.
Yeah.
Saints offensively would have scored a lot of points.
They would have won.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think that, honestly, though, it, taking out my heart, I think they lose in Philadelphia. I think the Eagles win the NFC title either way.
Last night was the first time that I thought, well, Saints would have had trouble with Philly. In Philly.
Yeah.
Because Foles is playing so well. And they can run the football.
Mm-hmm. And defensively, they're good.
They're good.
I know the Patriots scored 30, whatever, but they're good. So. Anyway, I don't want to stay on it long, but you got any basketball thoughts?
I wrote about it. Look, Tennessee's really good. Give some credit, first of all, there, that Tennessee's really good. I'm curious to see what happens tomorrow night. Missouri comes to town. You tell me you're better at this kind of thing than I am. Mm-hmm. Missouri comes to town tomorrow night. It's an 8 o'clock game. There's a 90% chance of rain. The weather is going to keep some people away. Nobody wants to walk in the rain, walk to and from their car in the rain, drive back to wherever in the rain at midnight. What's the crowd tomorrow?
Heavy students, light everywhere else. Grandstands will be very light, or not grandstands, general admission or whatever will be very light. The club areas will be fairly full, and the students will show up as they always do for when they're in attendance or in session.
Yeah. They play a Missouri team that just beat Kentucky, a Missouri team that is kind of finding its stride, a Missouri team that is playing for the tournament. They have to go to LSU on Saturday. LSU's been good at home. They come back here and they play an Arkansas team that will desperately need a win.
Got to go to State. They still got Tennessee at home. They put Vanderbilt at home.
Got to go to Kentucky.
Yeah, might be it.
It's got a chance to get bad, I think, this week. A loss tomorrow. A loss Saturday.
4-6 right now?
4-6 now. Like I said, I'm not going to write about tournaments and opportunities anymore. This team's path to the tournament is in St. Louis. And it's not realistic that this team hasn't meshed well. Here's some interesting thing. I didn't write about this yesterday, but I talked to some people. Yesterday was the first day that I kind of got on the phone and called some college basketball people that I know, who know a lot of coaches, people who are familiar with what's going on in the sport. Everybody has a lot of respect for Andy. They said, you know, Andy always puts teams together, and this one just doesn't appear to have chemistry. It doesn't appear to work. Andy talked about it after the Tennessee game. They just haven't gotten anything consistent in their low post. It's made them guard-oriented. It's very difficult to win when you are completely guard-oriented if you don't shoot well. And for whatever reason, guys, hell, on this team this year, Markel Crawford is shooting worse than he's ever shot in his career. Terrence Davis has shot poorly. Brian Tyree has shot poorly. DeAndre Burnett has had a pretty good season. The other guys have kind of underachieved. And so it hasn't worked. And one of the names that comes up a lot is Steve Forbes at East Tennessee. And they won again on Saturday. They've won, I don't know what it's 15, 16 in a row. They're fast becoming a national story. Yet Forbes is known for doing the same thing, putting teams together using JUCO, grad transfers, traditional transfers, underrated high school kids, putting them together and making it work. His name is one that pops up a lot at Ole Miss, understandably. I wonder if that philosophy, given that it is so similar to Kennedy's philosophy of team building. Now, Kennedy's is because of necessity in his mind. Whether it's right or wrong, whether you agree with it or disagree with it is not the point. In his mind, he doesn't believe, I think, that you can go out and recruit seven or eight of the traditional top rivals 150 players to come play at Ole Miss. Doesn't think you can win enough of those battles, that you have to do the other thing. You have to take a grad transfer. You have to take the JUCO kid. You have to take those kind of kids, and you have to meld it together and make it work. And there's a lot of that in college basketball. That's not exclusive to Andy Kennedy by any stretch of the imagination. But I wonder whether with Forbes, a overall team-building philosophy that is so similar to Kennedy's, whether that would be something you could sell to whoever it is that's making the decisions. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it's not. I just thought it was interesting. And then you hear some of the other names, like Eric Musselman. The sense is that he's going to be able to get, I was hesitant to say this, a, quote, better, end quote, job than Ole Miss, a higher profile job, an easier job than Ole Miss based on what they're doing at Nevada right now. And then if you start talking about getting into guys that are, you know, an assistant on a bench, I don't know who those guys are yet. I don't know they're that far down the road. I do think we're maybe less. Maybe another one of my colleagues will do it, but I think we're not far from someone having to say what's the step. How do you evaluate where you are right now?
How much of that though, with Forbes, even is just because of where he is, and that's the way to put groups together at a mid-major?
Yeah, I don't know. Might be.
Because he appears to be doing in that conference what everybody else is doing. He's just much better at it.
Well, that's what I was told yesterday, that he's the very best at it. I mean, here's a guy that was a longtime assistant at Tennessee, got caught up in the Bruce Pearl thing, had a one-year show cause, went back and coached JUCO for a while. Greg Marshall took him and put him on his bench at Wichita. And now he's doing big things at East Tennessee. I mean, he makes a lot of sense. He's in his early 50s, I think. It's payday time. He makes about $500,000 at East Tennessee. Ole Miss can obviously beat that. Yeah, I don't know that Ole Miss is in a position to get into a bidding war for a coach right now. You can't separate. You can separate the sports if you want in your mind, assuming for the sake of this discussion that they don't get the second bowl ban back. It's a major financial hit that the program has incurred over 2 years. If you make a move, Kennedy will be due more than $4 million. I mean, the money does not grow on trees. You can't just pay your way out of it. So, long-winded answer. I don't think we're far from having to have discussion. And if for whatever reason they've made a decision that they're not going to make a move, in my opinion, you need to get out in front of that quickly. The longer that they say nothing in regards to an extension or something like that, is indicative that change is certainly on the menu right now.
Yeah, that's the tea leave that I would get. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you can get local underwriting that understands your market, and you get the flow-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance, but did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm also had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give him a call, go to Google, read Romero Miller State Farm reviews. You'll see just how strong they are in Mississippi and Tennessee. And then if you have insurance needs in one of those two states, give Romero Miller State Farm a call, 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. And the podcast is brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. You should know Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a great one when you get Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800.
Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. They're in Holly Springs. You give them a call, 662-252-2321. They've got the Sildenafil we've told you about for a long time, only $10 compared to the $50 or $60 for those other guys with the little blue pill. They also have an option for women with a similar issue. Now, the same ownership is in Oxford with G&M Pharmacy. They deliver local, and they give you great service. So, again, check all those things out at TysonDrugs.com. Neil, you talked about PR response. You talked about getting out ahead of that, and something Ross Bjork did do on Friday. Austin Thomas, the much-talked-about off-field staffer that was the GM of the LSU football program. He flirted with Tennessee, tried to get a deal in place, couldn't agree to it. Then's kind of been unemployed since then, or hadn't kind of. He has been unemployed since then. Ole Miss and Thomas began negotiations in December. Per Ross Bjork, a deal was done as far as responsibilities and money. Then when the waiver finally happened for the individual associated with the prospect, Greg Little being the biggest hang-up there, Ole Miss had to make sure that his eligibility would not be impacted by Thomas's hiring. That decision came last Wednesday. They told Thomas, ready to go, and per Bjork, Thomas kind of stalled, was looking at other programs. We have sources telling us that Thomas was in College Station at one point last week. And then
I was told he was in Mobile the week of the Senior Bowl.
I was told that as well.
Talking to a lot of NFL people.
This is speculation. We reported everything I just told you. This part is speculation. I had somebody, though, would have a decent idea of this, tell me that the opinion is that Thomas was trying to kick the can to this week because it's when NFL staffs really start making some off-field moves in some ways. And that it could have an impact on that at Senior Bowl over, Super Bowl over, and that an NFL team could make an overture during this week. And that might have been what he was trying to get to.
Probably.
It's just a theory, but it was probably a good one.
Probably was.
Yeah. Nonetheless, though, Bjork came out, was forceful with it, and gave fans some clarification, which was good. They needed to come out and get in front of some things.
I'm not sure everyone at Ole Miss was excited about him.
They weren't.
So it's probably okay. It's not going to make or break the program. Like I wrote in 10 Thoughts, I thought the getting out, I won't say in front of it because it was all over message boards for 2 weeks, but getting out in front of the message, getting out in front of the message was a good move for them. Because they're going to need to do it with basketball, too.
Yeah.
Because this basketball thing is, if you're playing the Oxford Exxon podcast drinking game, go ahead and pour you one. The basketball thing, there's a lot of blame to go around on this contract thing. Andy certainly has some blame in it. There's no question. So does Vitter. The people that say that it's one person completely did this, no.
In either direction.
No. Andy could have kept it quiet and no one would have known. Vitter could have rolled the contract over or said, nope, you know what, we're headed in the... If you believe you're headed in the wrong direction, then why do you give it another year? There's a lot of questions that frankly need to be answered. You know, to expect a coach to not... to keep something like that completely private is unrealistic. Whether you think they should or shouldn't, to expect that to stay completely private is unrealistic. It is completely unrealistic. That's just not going to happen, and he should have known that. So if you're Vitter and you know that's going to come out, and if you didn't know that was going to come out, well, then you are completely out of touch with what you're doing. And you know it's going to come out, well, then you need to make a decision one way or the other. I still come back to that. You don't allow that to become a soap opera. And for the people who say, well, Andy shouldn't have said anything. Okay, well, let's just say Andy didn't say anything. Somebody, Clarion Ledger, somebody was going to FOIA that. They were going to ask for his contract. Did you roll it over? Did you change the buyout? Did you extend it? What did you do? Those questions were going to get asked.
Yeah, the question was going to be how long would it have been prior to it getting out that that an offer had been made that was declined.
Yes.
That's the question.
Yes. At which point someone was going to ask Andy directly. He was going to answer it. That it was going to stay private is completely ridiculous. Of course it wasn't going to stay private. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm good.
I mean, did Andy handle it great? Probably not. Was he a little pissed by it? Yeah, sure. You would have been too. Everybody would.
You're going to glare at me when I unfairly ask you this. You think he was referring to Ole Miss with the comment Saturday? I know you don't know. What's your gut?
My gut is yes.
Is it?
My gut was that was one of the first signs that this is really fraying at the nerves. Here's the quote for those who haven't seen it. After the game on Saturday in Knoxville, Andy said, quote, I will say this, the people that took the quote and only took the little last part of it.
That's not fair.
That's not fair. Here's the quote in its entirety. Wes Rucker tweeted out the entire quote to give credit where credit is due.
We do that real often with Wes, so that's good.
Quote, I love Tennessee. I love coming here. A lot of people think I'm crazy, and there could be some validity to some of that, but I like it here. I appreciate the passion of the fans. I think you've got a good basketball intellect here, unlike some places.
That can mean whatever Andy would like for it to mean.
Look, Andy's frustrated. There was a lot of pressure on this season. He thought he had a better team than this.
Typically, he's been able to mold a pretty consistent group out of misfit toys.
Yeah. And this is the league's better this year.
TD has not been the Henderson Moody scorer that bails that the roster out a little bit.
No, they thought he would be 20 points a game.
Yeah.
And he hasn't. They thought Markelle Crawford would be a bigger addition. Mm. He hasn't. they thought Olenichuk would be better than he has been.
Yeah, and better earlier, for sure.
Yeah, and they thought that Stevens would make a cleaner transition. And Stevens is so bad defensively that he can't stay on the damn floor because he gets in foul trouble. Hasn't worked. So I'm sure it's frustrating. And you begin to fray at the edge. And the league's better. The league is better. There's just not the break in the league that you usually get. Look at their coming up stretch. Missouri's good. Missouri last year sucked. Last year when you played Missouri, you had to work, but you could get a W. Last year when you played LSU, yeah, they were bad. You could get a win.
Auburn wasn't good.
Auburn was bad. Arkansas was a winnable game.
State was worse.
State was, yeah, Ole Miss swept State last year.
Yeah.
And now winning in Starkville next weekend will be very difficult. It's just a better league. Ironically, it's the year that Kentucky's down, but the rest of the league is up.
No, Kentucky's very gettable.
And so he, you know, look, no one in the media has gone after him, but Andy knows a lot of people in coaching. He hears the people. I mean, I'm sure he's hearing from people that are saying, hey, you okay? That's, you know, it's – like I said earlier in the show, I'll be curious to see if this gets addressed publicly in some form. I don't think a lot of scuttle, a lot of speculation around a program is a great thing for a program, for any program.
Just quickly, whether or not you'd burn $20 on it, okay, odds for next Super Bowl, the top 10, 12 teams, Patriots 4.5 to 1.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Eagles 6 to 1.
No.
Well, nothing to do with that. Yeah, the repeat's not there. That's not it. Steelers 8 to 1.
Starting to get into some value now.
Okay. Maybe.
And I would give that more thought than I would the other two.
20 for 160.
Yeah.
Okay. Vikings at 12 to 1.
I love that.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't believe in Case still.
No, but the rest of that team's really good.
They are.
I just watched Nick Foles win the Super Bowl.
You did. Packers at 12 to 1.
Well, I like that.
I like that.
That's a good, that's a good solid, yeah.
Saints 16 to 1.
Love that.
Good at 16 to 1.
My $20, yeah, I love that.
Okay. Falcons at 16 to 1.
Love that.
Cowboys at 20 to 1.
Nope.
20 to 1, the Los Angeles Rams.
Love it.
Might throw 40 on that one.
Yeah, I might put 100 on that.
Just see what happens a little
bit. Of
all
the ones you've given, that's the first one that's kind of stirred my loins a little bit.
Seahawks 20 to 1.
No, they're done.
49ers 20 to 1. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But now, if I want to have some fun in Vegas.
No, I'd like to have 20 on maybe they're over. Like, let's pull back a little.
Right.
Because I think the Seahawks are going to take a fall next year. I think the Rams might do something 13-3, 14-2, stupid. And then the 49ers tuck in there at 10-6 or 9-7 or something in that next little.
Now, I wouldn't mind putting $10 on that just for fun. Because that you have a chance to pay off and there's nothing to lose there.
And then good team, 20-1, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No.
No? Okay.
I know what I saw.
If you had any belief at all, like high value, I guess Redskins 80 to 1 with Alex Smith?
No.
Okay. And then wrapping up the bottom, the Bears, Jets, and Browns are all 100 to 1.
Bears, Jets, Browns.
You'd throw five on the Chicago Bears just for the heck of it.
I might throw five on the Bears because I do think I see something in Trubisky. What were the Giants, out of curiosity?
I don't have it. God, I'm looking at your news story, and I don't have it in this.
They had a great Super Bowl last night.
The 49ers last February were 300 to 1. They've gone 301 to 20 to 1 in a year.
Well, 8-game winning streak with the quarterback that looked the part. That will change the game. I mean, I think I know what I saw in Garoppolo.
It's a little smoke and mirrors because of the time of year, but yes. Because included in his wins was a win over the Rams where they played no one. But, okay, I'm there.
Yeah, but it was the way that they looked.
Yeah.
They passed an eye test, much like the Bears did at times, Trubisky did.
Okay. That's fair. Our message board is hotly debating This Is Us today. You haven't jumped on that train, have you?
I haven't. I've not ever watched it. Now, I have no problem with it. My thing is, it sounds like it's just an emotional train wreck, and I just don't know that I want that at night before I go to bed.
We were laughing about it at that party last night. 90% of the couples, or at least wives, watch it, and 90% of that 90% cry almost every episode. The women.
Yeah.
It is very good. It's probably the best show on network television right now.
I mean, a Hallmark commercial can make me cry.
Yeah, so you would be in that boat. It is, because some of your biggest emotional pulls are father, son, family type elements, and that's what the show is. It's just boom, 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 positively and negatively, good and bad, happy and sad. It'll pop you every way.
Kind of like life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's a better. It was a movie, a show for years, Parenthood on NBC. It's a better Parenthood, is what it is.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very good. It is dependable. It is consistent, and it's one of the few network shows where everybody in the family can not worry about subject matter, watch it together, and be at least intrigued by something in every episode. That's a win. That's a win every time.
Sure.
It's good.
It sounds like a great show.
It's an ensemble cast.
I'm sort of just protecting my emotions a little bit.
You would be very invested emotionally. You would.
And right now, I just prefer to watch The Office. You know, I mean, I'm Jim and Pam end up together, and spoiler alert, and
damn it,
and you know, Michael's awful, but they love him and they care about him and they take care of him and everything kind of works out, and it just, I'm good with that.
Yeah, Neil's the guy like, no, I'm good. Where's the Seinfeld rerun?
Yeah.
And
it's not that I don't think it's a great show, and the guys who are like, oh man, you must be a, stop. Let me tell you something. It's a pet peeve. You're not less of a man because you feel something. For the love of God, don't do that to your kids. Don't raise kids to believe that it's not manly to have an emotion, for God's sake. Don't be so, no one thinks like that. You don't have to be like that. You don't have to be so tough that you can't, I don't know, I've never thought that crying was a sign of weakness. I've never thought that. Something driving you to emotion is a sign of weakness? How so? Then there were a lot of weak sons of bitches wearing green uniforms yesterday, I'll tell you that. There were a lot of weak damn sons of bitches. That center for the Philadelphia Eagles is one weak little girl. Because he bawled like a baby after that was over. Did you hear him? No. Talking about persistence.
No,
for those of you who love football the way that you do, he is a prime example of what makes football great. He talked about how out of high school, no one recruited him. And his grandfather gave him a quote from Calvin Coolidge about persistence.
Mm-hmm.
And his parents were like, don't give up your dream. Find a way. Go until you decide you're done. And so I don't remember his whole path, but he ended up, obviously, as the starting center for the Philadelphia Eagles. And he talks about how when they beat Atlanta and then they beat
Minnesota,
he said for the last 2 weeks, every time he gets in the shower, he starts crying because he realizes I am at the penultimate moment of something that I earned through my persistence, and that you never know if you'll get there again. And he's going to get a Super Bowl ring. And it was emotional for him. That's what bothers me. It's like, well, if you watch that show, you're a girl. No, you're not. Man, if you live this life, you're going to have, you know this perfectly well, better than most people. No one's immune from it. I mean, bad things happen in life. I know the reason I don't want to watch that show is I know some of it's going to hit me so close to home that I don't want to be hit there yet.
Well, that's kind of, it was interesting because listening to, I don't know the word here, but talking to some buddies about it last night because I really hadn't discussed it with anybody over the last 2 years since the show's been on. It's in its second season. And it hit us early and immediate. And now, look, a lot of girls like it because one of the main characters was in Gilmore Girls. And, like, you know, there's some crossover, some stuff and whatever. But, it's all revolved around adoption and the loss of a child. It's kind of the beginning story arc. So it hit us in some ways that other people wouldn't. You know, we've had certain moments that were very relatable to those things.
It resonated.
Yeah, no doubt. Sure. But as it goes on, no, there's things that would resonate with any couple at any stage of life. I mean, it is the writers do. The writers hit the moments correctly, kind of make you feel what you're supposed to feel in the moments, which is probably an incredibly difficult thing to do for any television show or especially network television. And it does all that, but then it kind of leaves you in a good place, too, in a way to allow you to be a family show. It's very well done. I mean, yeah, there's some times that I'll kind of laugh and go, yeah, the writers all sat around and go, okay, how can we kick the hell out of them tonight a little bit? But,
yeah,
okay. It's that's all right.
No, it's a show that I probably will eventually watch. Remember Breaking Bad? You and Jeffrey told me forever, man, you got to watch that. And I had to wait till I was kind of in a place where I thought I could handle it.
Yeah. And this is different. But
yeah,
it
feels
emotional. I mean, yeah, Breaking Bad was.
Well, Breaking Bad wasn't even realistic for me. I'm like, I'm never going to be the type of person to be a drug dealer. You ever hear that I'm dealing drugs? Come get me. I am innocent. There are things that I am perfectly capable of.
Yeah, you're
of.
Probably not going to take on the cartel anytime soon.
No, that's not me. I mean, I'm not much of a lawbreaker. I sometimes violate the speed, but that's about it.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. All right.
I'm very jail averse.
Jail averse. Let's
There's two on. Or three things that I could be accused of. Drug dealing, anything involving hurting children. Anything like that, come get me. I'm innocent.
Yeah. Yeah, anything along the lines of hurting children, it's because you went after some other dude that did it.
Yeah.
That does stir it pretty good for you.
Yeah, the guy that, I meant it the other day on Friday when the guy went after
Nasser,
he had the three daughters. You know, a lot of that stuff that he heard that day in the court was the first time he'd heard it. Can you imagine the pain, the anger, the anguish, and he just lost it. To that judge's credit, she just said, hey, you got to promise me that you'll
chill.
I get it. Send him home. That was going to be the greatest GoFundMe ever. Like if his bail had been $2,000, they were going to raise $60 million in bail money. Oh my God! I mean, you told me that resonated with every dad in the world. You didn't. I saw people. Well, you have to be a dad of girls. No, you don't. You have to have just a soul. It resonated with anyone.
For what it's worth, just adding on at this point, Nasser given a 40-125 in Eaton County.
Good.
Yeah.
Just in case there's a medical breakthrough, we got to make sure that.
That's the goal here.
We've got to make sure.
Pack some life sentences on top of one another.
Yes, just in case. Because, you know, you never know what might happen.
A little insurance.
Just make sure that in case that son of a bitch finds a way to live to be 800, he spends it in jail. Okay. I think an appropriate sentence would be to give that dad 5 minutes. Of course, then he'd have to live with what he did. Yeah. That would be a. But
there's a chain.
Just the havoc that son of a wreaked.
I'm still amazed that attorney stepped in front the other day.
Did his job.
Your job's not to step in front of your client.
No, but you know, sometimes those people, they defend their clients and they take that seriously.
Well, it's reflex too, honestly.
It is. And some of it is just, you know, we have a system and the system's great and that's part of it. And
yeah.
I don't judge him. He's doing his job.
Yeah.
He knew going in. He pleaded guilty. They weren't trying to get him, you know. They weren't trying to set him free. He's just doing his job as a public defender. Fair enough.
We'll probably talk to Gabe DeArmond at some point this week. Ole Miss plays Missouri tomorrow, and then we'll have some more podcasts as the week moves on. Neil's doing a beer garden tonight. That'll be up, I'm assuming, tomorrow, and we'll go from there.
Curious before we do that, because I'm talking to Dane Perry. It's going to be a baseball-oriented beer garden. Might be some NBA in it, but probably just baseball.
Okay.
It's February the 5th.
It is.
Pitchers and catchers report.
Week-ish.
10 days-ish.
Yeah.
A lot of unsigned free agents. A lot of angst. A lot of anger in Major League Baseball. Where do you think this goes?
Everything has a correction. We're there for baseball a little bit.
I agree.
It's good. It's fine.
I think so much of this is Scott. I said this on the Beer Garden the other day. I think so much of this is Scott Boras made promises
that can't be hit right now.
If you're Jake Arrieta, you're a little angry right now, probably, right? Because the Cubs offered him $110 million over 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you right now, you give me $110 million over 4 years,
you take it.
I promise you, not only am I taking it, I'm good. I can make that work.
Yeah.
I can make that work. I keep waiting for one of these people to go up to their agent, whether it's Boras or whoever, and say, so I can get $100 million and go to work? Are we really going to take this to the wall?
I'm interested in thoughts, so we'll...
I'm fascinated to see where it goes next year.
Right.
Harper, Machado, Donaldson, possibly Kershaw. What does the market do? I just think the days of these people giving a 10, 12-year contract to somebody...
Well, they've never made sense, so it was just a matter of getting to this point.
I mean, if you're giving Jake Arrieta a 6-7-year deal, I love Jake Arrieta.
There will not be an arm attached.
I've watched Jake pitch for the last 3 years. I probably haven't missed one of his starts. He's great. I mean, I think he's going to be really good in 2018. He'll probably be pretty good in 2019. I've got questions about 2020, 2021. Would I be willing to eat a bad year? Yeah, sure. But I'm not going to eat three.
Yeah. All right, Beer Garden, tomorrow, our podcast as well. And we'll talk to you then. Have a good day.